Well, let's open this lesson, and I want to look at something. I was just looking at something before we came on the air. And I want to look, we started here on a Sunday, and looking at the New Living Translation of Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. And I think this is such a profound verse of Scripture. And I just wanted to start here. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding." It doesn't say don't use your understanding, and then we just walk around, you know, not doing anything. But it didn't say don't use it. It says don't depend on it. And then it goes on in verse 6, "Seek his will in all that you do," and what? "He will show you which path to take." What does that mean? That means, number one, that you may need to investigate things. You may need to search out information. You know, we have so much access to information. But when all is said and done, even if you think you know the answer, and you think, you know how some of us do, we go, yeah, I know what to do. It's best to take a step back and do just what this says. Seek his will in all that you do. Say, Lord, I think I know what to do, but I need your direction. And this says here, he will show you which path to take. How does he do that? We were sharing that Sunday. There's three primary ways that he leads us, three ways, I would say. And the primary way is that he leads us by the inward witness, or this inward intuition, this inward knowing. He also leads us by a still small voice, and he leads us by the Holy Spirit, or this let's say a more authoritative voice, and he will speak to us in those ways. But it said, he will show us which path to take. Now, this just means we are to do what? Believe or trust or have faith that the love that God has towards us, and believe that. Believe his love towards us. And let's look at Hebrews 11:6. And I just was looking at this before we came on the air. And Hebrews 11:6, and we're familiar with this scripture in the King James, and it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to do what? Please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, we just got done looking at Proverbs 3 and 5. It says, "Seek him, seek his will in all you do, and he'll show you which path to take." Now, look what this verse in Hebrews 11:6 says in the Passion Translation. Wanted to look at this because it adds a little light here, and it kind of ties in some ways, or supports what we just read in Proverbs 3:6. But look at Hebrews 11:5 in the Passion. It says, "And without faith living where? Within us, it would be impossible to please God. For we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real." And then look at this. "And that he rewards the faith of those who passionately seek him." This is exactly what we were doing here, reading in verse 6 in Proverbs 3. It says, "Seek him, seek his will in all you do, and he'll show you which path to take." So when you seek him passionately, this is what we were just reading in Hebrews 11:6. It says, "He rewards the faith of those who give all their passion and strength into what? Seeking him." So it's important that we seek him with what? All of our heart, all of our strength, and all of our being. And God will show us the right path to take. You may not know it initially, but seek him with all your heart, and he will direct you. He'll show you which path to take in life. Passion Translation of Hebrews 13 and verse 20 and 21. You know, you may not know which path to take, but I like this particular rendering here in Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. It says, "Now may the God who brought us peace by raising from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, so that he would be the great shepherd of his flock, and by the power of the what? The blood of the eternal covenant," verse 21, "may he work perfection into every part of you, giving you all that you need to fulfill your destiny, and may he do what? Express through you all that is excellent and pleasing to him through your life union with" who? "With Jesus, the Anointed One, who is to receive all the glory forever. Amen." So when we seek him with all of our heart, he's going to show us the right path, and the Holy Spirit, who's been sent to help us, is going to begin to work in us, right? And it says, work perfection into every part of you, giving you all that you need to fulfill your destiny. What is that? He's going to give you wisdom. He's going to give you understanding on what to do. He's going to show you which path to take. Glory to God. But you got to seek him with all of your heart. Glory to God. Praise God. Every good, James chapter 1 and verse 17, every good gift in the King James, and every what? Perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He doesn't change. So if he did it for one person while he was on the earth, Hebrews 13:8, it said, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." That means if he did it for one, just one, during his time here on the earth, then he will do it for us today. And for those that come, if Jesus tarries, he'll do it for those after we've left this earth. He never changes. He's without variableness, nor shadow of turning. He changes not, Malachi 3:6. He doesn't change. So we're encouraged in that when we look at the scriptures regarding healing, and I know we're going to land on compassion again, but I want us to just look at this again, at 1 Peter 2:24 in the King James. Says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." And we always ask the question, what tense is "were"? It's not, it's past tense. That means it's already been done. And you know, many will say, "Well, I don't feel healed. I don't look healed. You know, I'll believe that when I receive it." But that isn't how faith operates. Faith operates now. Faith is the substance or the ground or the support of things hoped for, things expected, the evidence of things not seen. So we need to, whenever we believe for something, it's something that we don't see. We don't have yet. We haven't experienced it. So you may not feel healed. You may not look healed. The doctors may tell you. The facts are you're not healed. But God said, "By his stripes ye were healed." So who's right? Is man right? Or is God right? His word is forever settled. in heaven. And Psalm 107, verse 20, he said, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So God has already settled in heaven that by the stripes of Jesus, we have been healed. So how do we take that provision? How do we take that mercy of healing? How do we draw upon that and bring it into this realm? You know, when we talk about healing, healing manifests itself in the natural, but healing is divine. And we're talking about healing, we're talking about divine healing. And divine healing is appropriated by how? By faith, not by, you know, nothing wrong with eating healthy and eating good, but healing is not, divine healing doesn't come about by you eating a good diet. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with eating good. And, you know, as they say in the natural, eating clean or eating right kinds of foods. Nothing wrong with that. But you could do all of that and end up in a situation where the doctors say, I'm sorry, Mr. or Mrs., there's nothing else we could do. But healing has already been settled. Jesus has taken the stripes on his back for every sickness. He came, and just like in John chapter 3, and if you look at, let me just turn over there, John chapter 3, we're very familiar with this scripture, how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who believeth on him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. But if you look at what? Chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the what? The Son of Man be lifted up. He was lifted up what? On the cross. And so he took our sins and our sicknesses, and they were fully paid for through redemption, through his shed blood. And so it's exciting to know that he is our compassion. He extends compassion. He extends that mercy to us if we seek him with all of our heart. And I wanted to just continue again, and let's look at Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. I know we're going over these, but you know what? It's good to meditate upon them. It's good to get that firmly watered and rooted into our hearts so that when life's circumstances come, I've got something to pull and draw upon. Psalm 145 and verse 8, let's read this in the King James and then the New Living Translation. It says in the King James, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. You know, if something's full, what does that mean? There's nothing else. It's full. He's full of compassion. And what? Slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, not just to some. It says the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over what? All of his works. Well, we're one of his works. We are his workmanship. And then let's look at this in the New Living Translation. It says, the Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. So if he's good to everyone, this is what John 10:10, it says, the thief comes but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's not good. But Jesus continued and said, but I have come that they might have life and they might have it, how? More abundantly. That's good. So he's good to who? He's good to everyone. He said he's good. slow to get angry. He showers his compassion on all his creation. He's good to all. Hallelujah. And so let's continue and just look briefly at Psalm 103 in the New Living Translation. Let's just look at let's look at 11, 12, and 13, 14, and 15 in the Psalm 103 in the New Living Translation, starting in verse 11. It says, "For his unfailing love towards those who do what? Fear him." That means reverence him, seek him. It says, "is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers that we are only dust. Our days on the earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone as though we had never been here. But the love of God, the love of the Lord, remains forever with those who fear him, and his salvation extends to the children's children." Hallelujah. So Jesus is, as we know from the scripture, was a reflection of the Father's will. He unveiled, you could say, the compassionate heart of God to the people. And the multitudes did what? They came to him for help. So he was the expression of the Father's will. And let's take a look here at Psalm 86, and this is in the King James, Psalm 86, verse 5. God's compassion is his divine love in action. God's compassion is his divine love in action. But Psalm 86 and verse 5 in the King James, it says, "For thou, Lord, art what? Good." He's good. And do what? Ready to forgive. You know, some people, you know, I mean, we've all been there as young Christians. You know, we've missed it, and then we've just kind of sulked in it, like, why did I do this? How did I do this? I messed up. And it says here, what is he? Ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive. He's a good God. He's a good Father. Hallelujah. And what? Plenteous in mercy unto all them that do what? Call upon them. You've got to seek him. This is what we were sharing in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, and Hebrews 11, 6. You know, seek him in everything that you do. That even means this here, right? He's plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. Let's look at Psalm 86 in verse 15. It says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion." Didn't I just say he's a God of compassion? He's full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Now, let's take a look. I wanted to kind of expand here this evening and look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 through 16 in the New Living Translation. And while they're putting that up, you know, we're familiar in the King James when it says, "We have a high priest which cannot be touched with what? The feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are without sin." But I like this in the New Living Translation, it sheds a little light here on this. It says, so then, since we have a great high priest, who's what? Entered into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. What do we believe? We believe that he's been raised from the dead. He is our high priest, and he is our Savior. But what does it go on to say in verse 15? This high priest of ours, who's what? Who's in heaven? Understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Verse 16, so let us, see what it says? You know, sometimes we cherry pick these scriptures out, and there's nothing wrong with that to make a point. But when you read this here, what does it go on to say? So let us come what? Boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his what? His mercy. And we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So what I'm trying to expand on here this evening is that when Jesus was lifted into heaven, what did he say? And let's go over, it's a good transition point here. Let's look at John 14, and let's look at starting in verse 5 through 14. But Jesus said, it's better or profitable, or the scripture says expedient, that I go away. So the compassion that was expressed through Jesus, who was the expression of the Father and the Father's will here on the earth, could only be done through Jesus. But because Jesus went to the cross and he provided salvation, that his compassion now is far more reaching than when it was here on the earth. Now, yes, he had the Spirit without measure, but now the body of Christ is expanding, and the will of God is what? Expanding and growing. And so the compassion of God that flowed through him can operate and flow through us also, right? And this is what we were sharing on Sunday. But let's look at John 14, starting in verse 5 in the King James. It says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, familiar verse, I am the way, I am the truth, or he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us, or it satisfies us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me, what, hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Then verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, right? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Now look, verse 12, 13, and 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and what? Greater works than these shall he do. That means us. Because what? I go unto my Father. Verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So this goes back to what we were just got done reading. He knew that we would be, you know, he knew our frailty and our weaknesses. But he what? It was expedient that he send the Holy Ghost to do what? Empower us to walk through this life, empower us with his Spirit to reflect Jesus, to, you know, have the compassion of God do what? Operate in and through us. Not just for us individually, but for those that we come in contact with. Now look at the Passion Translation in John 14, verses 12, 13, and 14. It says, I tell you this timeless truth, the person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. Now, some folks just stop there and try to explain that away. Now let's look at verse 13 and 14. I want to continue with this. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in what? My name. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring what? Glory to him. Whew, boy. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. And what is verse 14? Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it for you. You know, if we just stopped here this evening and meditated a little bit, let's look at this again in verse 13 and 14 in the Passion Translation. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And look at this. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. Isn't that our desire? That the world would see the goodness of God, that the world would see Jesus operating in and through us. But how is that going to come to pass? We have to seek him in all that we do. Seek him, ask him what? Whatever you ask me to do, when you ask me in my name. What does it say? I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. You know, God is desiring. This is, you know, when they talk about revival. Yes, the church needs to wake up to the revelation that God is looking for us to be bold and to step out and to ask him to do some things that maybe are not comfortable to do. I'm not saying to just disrupt your place of business or place of work, but what I am saying is be open for the compassion of God to operate in and through you. How do you do that? Get up and say in the morning, Lord, use me this day. Operate in and through me. I yield my spirit and my soul and my body for you to use today. so that you can reflect your goodness and your compassion through me. It may be something simple. It could be just saying a nice word to somebody. It could be praying for somebody. But whatever that is, let compassion lead. So that what? So that, this is what it said, so that the Son can show what the Father is really like and bring glory to Him. You know, the world today has such a jaded view and a jaded opinion of God because they've gotten their what? Their view or their visibility. You know, people say, well, this is how God is like. The church is going around doing what? Condemning sinners because of the way they live and not letting God operate the compassion of God through us and let Him show the sinner how good God is. Where to bring that compassion and that love, as Pastor Sarah used to say on her broadcast, the choice is yours, to a lost and dying world. And that's what it is. They're lost. That's what Jesus said when he said he had compassion. Because he said they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so we need to let the love of God rise up in us and have compassion for people who are stuck in life, that are just out there doing crazy things. And whether they're saint or sinner, we're to have compassion and not judge. Didn't say that we're not to live a holy life. You know, let's take a quick look here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 in the Passion Translation. This is a familiar verse of Scripture. It says, "Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies?" He says, this is Paul, "I encourage you," or he said in the King James, says, "I beseech you." Or that means he invites or he encourages us. He said, "I encourage you to surrender yourself to God." That means to seek Him, to be His sacred living sacrifices, and do what? And live in holiness, experiencing what? All the delights His heart, that delights His heart. For this becomes your general expression of worship. So God is desiring. He is what? Good. He's full of compassion. His heart wants to pour out His blessings. Now for us, as we grow, we know where to submit these bodies and live a holy life. Seek Him in all that He does, all that He desires, and seek Him in His will. But what I'm sharing is let the love of God rise up big in us and not be, Jesus said, "I came not to judge this world." So we need to have that same heart, that God wants to operate in and through us. We are to judge certain things. What does it say? God says in Matthew 18, verses 18 and 19, when it says that we are to do what? Bind those things that are already bound in heaven, or it would say, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But I believe either in the New Living, some of the modern translations, either the New Living or the Passion, it says, whatever you forbid on earth must already be whatever is forbidden in heaven. It says, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. I think the Amplified Classic may share it a little differently, but the point is, we've been given dominion and authority, and God wants us to do what? Take authority over spirits, demon spirits, that have already been defeated, and we are sitting in heavenly places in Christ with authority to take authority over spirits that have blinded the minds of those who are lost, so that they can get to know the goodness and the compassion of God. This is what we keep going, what I wanted to land on this evening. Let's take a look again at that Passion Translation, John 13 and 14. It says, "For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and do what? Bring glory to him." And then verse 14, it says, "Ask me anything in my name and I will do it for you." Glory to God. Keep that in your mind this week as you go through. Meditate on this particular scripture. Go back and look at this John 14, verses 13 and 14. Whatever we ask him in his name, he will do it. And he wants to reflect the goodness of God through his body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for revealing truth through your word. Thank you for helping us to grow in Christ further, and that we will be used in a greater measure for you in this earth, at this time, in this season that we live in. Father, use us to reach people that each of us have different paths. Use us to reach people that we come in contact with. Work through us, Lord. We yield our thoughts, our spirit, our soul, and our bodies. We yield to you. And Father, we commit to do better. We commit to yield to you and let you use us in a greater way. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, if you're watching this evening, if you happen to be watching and you've not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you've not asked him to be your Savior, and it just, in the scripture, it says if we believe in our heart that Jesus is the Christ and we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. That word sozo, saved, is the Greek word sozo. And it just means to be delivered. It means to be healed. It means salvation. So when we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead and confess Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we'll be saved. We instantly receive eternal life. And it changes my spirit and delivers me from darkness into and translates me into the kingdom of his dear Son. So if you're out there watching and you desire to receive Jesus as your Savior, just say this simple prayer. Father God, I thank you that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he went to the cross and died for my sins. I believe, again, he was raised from the dead. And I thank you now and ask Jesus to come into my heart. I submit myself to him now. I ask you to cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. And I will serve you and commit my life to you the rest of my days here on this earth in Jesus' name. Amen. If you did that, then just contact us. Let us know that you did. And we will send you some free information about who you have become in Christ. Glory to God.